It's time. You know that story goes, two kids brought up in the church. Now we start our own path and we making it work. Building community, spreading unity, that's just what we do. Chat Town representing with our own point of view. Long awaited, we know that it's long overdue. We just wanted to make sure that it was special just for you. It's AJ and Kelly, so you get the package deal. Can't speak for them, but over here we gotta keep it real. We drop the gems every time that you listening. So every episode we shining and glistening. Stick around long enough, you see what the vision is. The future that we building looking limitless. It's fair warning, proceed with caution. You are not listening to Jabbing with the Johnsons.
Hello, welcome back. Welcome back to Jabbing with the Johnsons. AJ, it has been a minute.
Yes, yes.
But we are so excited. We are now in season two. If you've forgotten about us, and I know you have it because you've been reaching out, I am Dr. Kelly Johnson. And of course, I have my big bro.
AJ Johnson,
and we have a special guest today, guys. Our topic for today, before we begin, I want to talk about our topic for today is Roe versus Wade. I know, folks, some of you have already hit our social media pages, and you are ready to go. But our topic for today is Roe versus Wade, to kill or not to kill. Before we begin, I want to first shout out our first sponsor. Our first sponsor for this season is Delmonico Premium Cigars. Delmonico Premium Cigars, they have five choices of premium cigars. You can visit www.delmonicocigars.com to place an order. You can follow them on Instagram and Facebook at Delmonico Premium Cigars. Currently, they are running a Labor Day special. So this weekend, guys, get online, get your favorite cigar, get ready to entertain your family and enjoy your time off. I love Mondays off. What about y'all? Y'all like Mondays off?
Love Mondays off.
I love Mondays. I like any day off. They have 20% off all the online orders. So if you get in this weekend, Labor Day weekend, it's 20% off. You have a choice of purchasing either the 3-pack, which is called the Amigos Pack, or a box of 10, 20, or 30. You can mix and match cigar choices. Please notate that in the section. Remember, visit Delmonico Cigars. That's www.delmonicocigars.com. Do not forget, guys, Delmonico Premium Cigars. So, let's talk about our guest. I'm excited, bro. I'm excited about our guest today. We have Scott Horde in the building. He is a missionary to the preborn. He is called to engage abortion for the past 7 years. He has traveled around the world. Can I safely say that?
Yes.
And, of course, he is stationed in Smyrna.
I live in Smyrna.
And he's helped at clinics in Nashville, Tennessee. He's averaging, how many babies per week are you averaging on saving?
Since I've started doing it full-time, about 130 a year.
Ooh, yes, yes, yes. I know. And listen, guys, today, you're going to say, oh, there you go again, Kelly. Dr. Johnson, you're a woman. Stick with us. Listen, guys, we are here for an open and honest conversation about this topic. It's been burning. So we're going to go ahead and get started. First, for those who are not privy to the Roe versus Wade decision, if you don't remember, this was a landmark decision of the U.S. Supreme Court in which the court ruled that the Constitution of the United States conferred the right to have an abortion. The decision struck down many federal and state abortion laws and caused an ongoing abortion debate in the United States about whether or to what extent abortion should be legal. Who should decide the legality of abortion and what the role of the moral religious views in the political sphere should be? Now, this year, around June, correct?
June 24th,
unprecedented thing happened. What happened, Scott?
Roe fell.
So the decision was overturned, right, AJ? Right. So this decision was overturned. And when this decision overturned, Hallelujah. All chaos broke out. Now, in my ears, all I heard was wonderful crying babies coming into this world. However, once again, guys, we are two siblings and we love discussing controversial issues. Am I correct, bro?
You're correct.
You're correct. So, what are y'all thoughts? What, when you heard the news, Scott, what were your first immediate thoughts?
That hundreds of thousands of children are now going to live.
Okay.
Simple as that.
What about you, AJ? When you first heard the news, what was your thought?
Well, I thought the women lost their rights.
Oh, I like this. I like this. I like this.
Back then, you know, it was a part of politician move because they weren't thinking about the woman body.
Okay.
They think about themselves. That's what I think.
Now, this is going to be interesting because when I first heard the news as a woman, I thought, thank God someone is thinking about the children.
Mm-hmm.
As a woman, I do believe, and we'll get into that in a few. As a woman, I do believe we have rights. I do believe that we have our voices. It's our bodies. But I am, and it could be, my education, well, I would say this. I would say, first of all, I know it's my belief in God. But from a educator perspective, I'm thinking I see so many children a day, these beautiful faces a day, and I believe that somebody giving these babies a chance.
That's right.
What are your thoughts? What are y'all thoughts? Y'all just, what do y'all think?
Thought about what, the decision?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's good for America because we're a democratic nation. And instead of a group of judges making a decision and forcing that decision upon a nation, they've now done what's right and they've pushed it back to the states and it'll be voted on state by state. And so if you're in New York, they'll kill children indefinitely as old as they can.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in Tennessee, not so much. Abortion's done here.
Mm-hmm.
And in 12 other states, it'll be the same. And so it's good for America that now we can vote on it. So democracy has been protected.
So, AJ, I like how you said it was politicized. What do you mean by it's politicized? I mean, I get it because when you think about it, you have, like Scott said, each state has that decision now, right?
Yeah.
So is it back to Democrat versus Republican thing?
I think it's back to Democrat versus Republican. Because I think, you know what I'm saying, they was like, I think Kemp in Georgia, if you have abortion, you get 10 years. I think. And, you know, you never know, you know, what the circumstance of the situation of a woman.
Okay.
Let's say she might get raped.
I'm glad you said that.
You know, and she might be traumatized.
Okay. Now, so, Kelly gonna be the devil's advocate. Y'all know me.
I'm thinking, you know what I'm saying, if she had this baby, she might be traumatized of the situation. You know what I'm saying? Then again, she might want to not have it.
Okay.
Because, you know, she either she know the rapist.
Okay.
Or, you know what I'm saying, she figure, okay, I just can't have it, can't afford it.
Okay.
And you have women like that. I mean, I don't know.
I'm a woman.
I mean, do you believe, you know what I'm saying, some women wake up, have abortion every day, every month?
Now, I think some use it as a form of birth control, but the number one reason for abortion is convenience.
Yeah.
It's not anything else. You know, people think, oh, they're in this difficult situation, and a lot of them are, but a lot of them are doing it out of convenience. They don't want their life messed with. But you brought up a good topic, not a good topic, but a difficult topic that the country isn't addressing very well, and it's the case of rape. So I've talked 5 women out of abortions that have been raped. And each one of those women were going to place that child for adoption.
Mm-hmm.
But as they carried the child, they fell in love with the child. And so around the seventh month, as they were carrying the child, they fell in love and they came back to me and said, no, I'm not going to place this child for adoption. I'm going to keep him because I love the child. And so this, I think it's a misconception that when they have this child, they're going to see the face of the rapist. It's not true. They don't. They see the child for who it is. It's made in the image of God. And so, you know, we say it's political, and there is a political side to it. But at the end of the day, it's not. It's spiritual. There's no neutrality in this argument. There's light. There's darkness. There's good. There's evil. And abortion is either good or it's evil. And I think the truth would fall upon the Christian side that it's evil, because scriptures like Psalm 139 shows us clearly what God thinks of the child, that he formed the child in the womb, that he intricately weaved that child together, that he says that child is fearfully and wonderfully made before it was even created. And so before we even think politically, we got to think, all right, what is it spiritually? And then if it's evil, then yes, that should affect the political side of it.
Have you deal with a woman who decided, okay, I don't want this child here because of the rapes?
Yeah, so I'm on the streets every day talking to women. I stand outside of Planned Parenthood every day, and I've seen every situation. And so there's women that have been raped that have gone in and aborted their child. But what happens is, you know, women are designed naturally to give life, to give back to that child, and that child will give back to them. And so they've already experienced the trauma of rape, which is the forcing of one's will against her will to bring her harm. And now she enters into a place where she now forces her will against another's will, not to bring harm, but to bring death. And so she enters into two traumas now, and she comes out of that and she's like, well, now she's suicidal and she's oppressed and depressed, and she faces that the rest of her life. So not only do I deal with the women that are doing this, I deal with the post-abortive men and women who have aborted 50 years ago, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, and they come back to me with the same two questions. Is there mercy for me, and does the pain ever end? And there is mercy. If you turn to Jesus, he does forgive, but the pain is a tougher question. It doesn't end. It doesn't go away. It's always there, but I serve a redeeming God that can now enter into that pain and do something beautiful with it. And so my best rescuers now are women who've aborted down the street here 20 years ago. Now they're rescuing babies. They're redeeming that pain and honoring God.
Yeah. But what about, okay, so AJ, you and I, we grew up in a Christian household, right? We have that foundation. We have that teaching. But we also know people who, they don't believe in God. Exactly. How are those people reached?
Well, there's different ways. It depends on the ethnicity as you are walking into Planned Parenthood. If you're African American, I'm introducing myself as Pastor Scott, because African American women, black women, respect the title of pastor. And so it's just a simple fact. And so when I introduce myself as Pastor Scott, a lot of times they'll look at me and go, okay, I'll have a conversation with you. And so I might not enter into the gospel right away. I might enter into talking about Margaret Sanger, and who is the founder of Planned Parenthood, who is a white woman that hated black people, that looked at the people in this room that are around me and said, you're weed among flowers, you're animals unworthy to live, who went to KKK rallies and spoke, and who founded Planned Parenthood for the sole purpose to eliminate the black race. And so a lot of times I share the history of Planned Parenthood with them, and they didn't know that history. And sometimes that's enough to get them to leave and change their mind. But it always will come back to the gospel of just telling them that they're made in the image of God. And when you are made in the image of God, you're called to love, to nurture, to protect, not to kill a child. It goes against your image-bearing nature that God has instilled in every woman, in every man, to kill that child. That's why there's so much pain in post-abortive people.
And so I want to bring up women's rights because mm-hmm. you brought that up in the beginning. And I think that is something that we need to talk about, because what I see on social media platforms is when this decision happened, as a woman, it was said that, well, what about us?
Mm-hmm.
It's our body. It's my right.
Mm-hmm.
And I should decide on what I should be doing with my body. Now, I will say this, and then I'll let you guys speak from a woman's perspective. I do believe it's my body. I do believe it's my right. However, I believe when you bring a baby into a situation, it's no longer about me. It's about that child. Also, I do believe, and y'all know I joke a lot on social media, what about the father?
Exactly. That's what I was gonna...
How come they don't have the right to say, no, don't kill my baby?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what are y'all are men. What are your thoughts? What if someone, I mean, of course, you had your children. You have four beautiful children. You have children.
Mm-hmm.
So what are your thoughts of someone telling you, no, I'm going to kill your baby?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think, of course, it's me personally, for child support.
Oh, gosh.
And you know what I'm saying? The reason I say that, because I think they don't listen to black men.
Oh.
Of course, it's... I think it's a slave mentality
mm-hmm.
of the situation, because mm-hmm. A man should have a right to every situation, because it takes two to create an egg.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore, the court system, you know what I'm saying, they just excess out mm-hmm. the situation. And they don't believe us.
I'm glad you said black man, because I did ask Scott before we got started. I said, what ethnicity do you believe has the highest rate of abortion? What was your answer, Scott? What did you say?
It's definitely African American.
And why?
Well, my question back to you is what is the percentage of the African American population in America? We said what, 13%?
13%.
Yeah. 13%. And so 40% of abortions come from that 13% of the population, right around 40%. And so, yeah, and so you're right. I mean, AJ's right. The system is set up to harm African American men. And I walk with a lot of these guys, and I see them get in this, I call it the death spiral.
Mm-hmm.
And unless somebody reaches in
mm-hmm.
and enters into that death spiral with them, they won't get out. And so I see that, and it's a tragedy. But, you know, when it comes back to the rights of a woman,
mm-hmm.
you know, when she's carrying a child, and we know now, because of science, that it's not a clump of cells. That's really old mm-hmm. science. Current science tells us so much more, and scripture tells us so much more. We don't look at a woman and say, hey, you have now 20 toes, 20 fingers. No, though, you still have 10 fingers probably and 10 toes, and there's another child within you that has 10 toes developing, 10 fingers developing. And so my body, my right is really not a very wise argument
mm-hmm.
because there's a body within your body. There's a little woman within your body that can't speak, that can't fight. And so it's ultimately the role of the church to protect the most vulnerable people in our society. And the most vulnerable person in our society is that child in the womb. And really, it's the black child in the womb. It's the number one place, the most dangerous place for a black child.
Well, I know, and I know we're discussing women's rights. I know that this conversation had led to, well, if they're taking away this right, now it's going to lead to same-sex marriage, things of that nature. They're going to start stripping us mm-hmm. of, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, I get everyone is in fear of different things. But once again, I think it goes back to me because, as you know my story, AJ, I was told I could never have children.
Yeah.
So I took the decision extremely personally because I feel like, I mean, what about the women who are crying out to God, I want to have a baby, and deal with infertility issues, and they have to see babies just being thrown away, and that's what I call it, killed.
Murdered.
Murdered each and every day.
Mm-hmm.
And you're thinking to yourself, I could take that. I thought that for the long, before I adopted my son, I thought, I'll take your baby.
Yeah.
I'll take your baby because it's a gift that you're able to carry.
Mm-hmm.
In my eyes, I felt like that's a blessing. And I felt like you are just saying, I don't want this blessing. Or who cares? Or and once again, let me be clear. I am not negating women who have dealt with incest or rape. I feel horrible for those women that are put in that situation where they're forced to have sex. And that is taken away from them. But I also see this baby as a gift. And I see this baby as the positive thing that came out of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like this. Someone gave you a chance to live.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How come they can't have that same chance?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Scott, do you think is it right for someone to get 10 years or so many years
mm-hmm.
because they killed a child?
Yeah. So that's a great question, AJ. And that is the argument that's coming. That the church isn't ready for, and society, we're entering into that now. So we have to say, what is equity?
Mm-hmm.
So you have how many children? Four?
Four.
Yeah. If I kill one of your children, what do I deserve?
Life. I'm sorry, God. Please what? Forgive me.
I asked that. Wait, but I'm asking him.
I see what you're saying, but it's the same thing. A person, abortion person can give 10 years. But if a black man kill another black man,
yeah,
he get less of years.
He gets what?
1-2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. There should be equity. And so if an abortionist kills a child, he should get what the law says is for murder. And if the woman takes her child in there to hire and puts money on the table to hire a hitman to kill her child, yeah, she should get the same justice.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's consistent. That's consistent. So we need, if you think about it, and that's hard because, you know, the mayor of Nashville doesn't want to criminalize anybody, and neither does Glenn Funk, the DA.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have laws with no teeth, you have no laws. And so you see that in California.
Yeah.
We're not going to prosecute anybody that steals up to this amount. Well, what's happening? They're stealing up to that amount left and right. They're just ravaging stores. And where there is no teeth in the law, mm-hmm. there is no law. That's, we have to be consistent. If we're calling it murder, which we have already called it murder,
mm-hmm.
and they're murdering a child that is just as valuable as me or anybody in this room, then equity has to be dealt and justice has to come.
And let me say this. I believe that probably 60, maybe 70% of people on social media goes along with the wave because they don't want to be canceled.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yep. I mean, I just keep it real, right? Because I had people tell me, if you get on this show today and you tell people that you don't want babies killed, people are going to come after you. And here's the thing. If you want me to respect what you believe in, I need you to respect what I believe in. Once again, if you decide that, I believe God has the final say. Mm-hmm. So your judgment is not even coming from me. That's my belief. But I'm a protector of children. I love children. And in my eyes, I feel like if you kill a baby, does that haunt you forever? It has to.
Right.
It has to haunt you. Imagine seeing other children at a playground. I know women. I know women who have went through it. And I didn't judge them, but I did tell them, hey, that's your decision. I don't agree with you. I love you. But before you make that decision, this is going to haunt you forever. Yeah. It is not going to go away.
And the reason being is because they're made in the image of God, and that means to love, to nurture, to protect, and to live sacrificially for, not to sacrifice your child. So when you go against those image-bearing qualities that God has put in every human being, whether you believe in him or not, that's why it comes back in deep, deep pain that usually leads to oppression, depression, or suicide.
Now, let me ask you a question. You might think this stupid.
No, ask.
What if a woman have a baby, mm-hmm. and she turn around and have a miscarriage? Would they think that would be murder?
No, it's not. It's just that it's not.
Do we have that proof?
No, no, no. It doesn't have anything. A miscarriage is a miscarriage. It has not. It's not even an abortion. Yeah. It doesn't have anything to do with it. It's just a health issue. And so, you know, where it gets tricky is I see women forced to abort. So I see moms drag daughters in. I see grandfathers drag daughters in. I see boyfriends drag daughters in. Husband drag wives in. That woman is being forced. She doesn't need to be penalized, but the man that forced her in there does.
Mm-hmm. You know, you got crazy people. They might like push the woman down steps or hit the woman's stomach.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just to have a
that's criminal.
Yeah. Now that criminal. Is. Well, that we already.
We don't know.
Well, no, actually, we do have laws in place, and we hear it all the time when a drunk driver kills a pregnant woman. Usually, he's charged for two deaths. So we already have laws in place, and so we're already inconsistent in our laws. Yeah.
So here's the next part I want to ask everyone. What are our options? Let's say I'm considering abortion. Now, once again, people are going to see this and say, ugh, they're all Christians. Okay, you got us. We are. But I also believe, once again, that everyone has a decision to make, but I also believe that you are going to be responsible for that decision at the end of the day. Whether it's abortion, whether you're stealing, whatever you're doing, there's a, like my dad used to tell us, you can make your decisions, but you can't make up the consequences, right? Yeah. You can choose to do something, but you can't dictate the consequences. And I say, well, what are my options? If I came to you, Scott, and I said, I'm considering abortion,
mm-hmm.
and you tell me no, and I say, well, I can't afford it,
mm-hmm.
or the father has abandoned me,
mm-hmm.
and I do want to get into mm-hmm. that realm, what are my options?
Well, we deal with it all the time. Of the 408 known rescues that we deal with, we face every circumstance. There's sometimes there's no food on the table. They can't pay rent. Their car's in repossession. They're homeless or they're living in a hotel, an abusive situation. And so our responsibility as a Christian is to walk with them. You know, you have the story of the Good Samaritan, where the priest walks by the guy that's been robbed. You have the Levite, the religious guy, that walks by the guy that's been beaten and left half dead on the ground. But then it was the Good Samaritan that stopped, that had compassion. And then he kneels down and enters into the dirty, bloody situation of another human being and sees that person to the end, puts them in the inn, and pays sacrificially to bring that person to a better place. That's the answer. That's the answer. And so you read each unique situation and you go the distance with them, no matter the cost, until God tells you you're done. And so I've got hundreds of stories and many right now that we're walking with. I was with three rescued yesterday. And so we're walking with those moms on a regular basis. And so people often say, well, how much money will you spend, or how much time will you spend with them? There is no number. If God tells you to do it, you do it. And so if it's $1,000, it's $1,000. If it's $10,000, it's $10,000. But you do it, because ultimately we're called to make disciples. We're called to enter in, bear other people's burdens, carry their pain, see them through that, but then bring them to a better place, which is a disciple in the Lord. And that's what we do. So the options are amazing. There is an option. And so a lot of these young women feel alone, and they often tell me, hey, I'm alone. And like Laterica, who's out of Memphis, we went back and forth, and she kept saying, I'm alone. I'm alone. I was like, you're not alone. I said, I know you don't know me, you don't trust me, but I'm telling you, you're not alone. And she goes, no, I'm alone. I was like, no, you're not. And so I asked her, I said, let me prove it to you. What do you need? And she said, I need clothes. My one-year-old, Kingston, needs clothes. I said, go to Kohl's tonight in Smyrna. She's living in a hotel off of I-24. And I said, go to Kohl's, go shop at 6:30. I'll meet you at the cash register around 7:30. And so I walked in, spent about $150 on clothes. I was getting ready to pay for it. A guy walks in behind me and says, are you Scott? And I said, I am. He goes, I know what you do, and I think I know what's going on here. And he says, I'm going to pay for this. And he looks at Laterica and says, you're not alone. And we just began to jump and celebrate. And so we've been walking with Laterica for 3 years now. And Keyshawn is almost three, and he's amazing. And so it's been finding a job, finding an apartment, mm-hmm. getting her a van, food, gas, you know, whatever it takes to come alongside her, not to enable her, but to allow her to be the woman that God has called her to be able to breathe a little bit. Because again, like AJ was saying, a lot of young African-American men and women mm-hmm. are caught in a cultural thing, and it's a death spiral that unless somebody comes in and enters in, they don't get out. And so what I find is when you enter into a Laterica situation, and I've got others, it takes about 4 years, 4 years of entering into their life to take them out of that spiral, to get them going in another direction where the wind kind of gets behind them and they can go be who they're called to be.
So how do you deal with, and this is where AJ probably said, Kelly, why you asking me that question? How do you deal with you are a white man. Mm-hmm. You just once again trying to use this as a project mm-hmm. and save us. And how you deal with that rhetoric of you're just here for a photo op, or have mm-hmm. you ever heard, let me ask you, have you ever heard of that rhetoric? Has people ever come to you with that saying, to be, because you're going into black churches as well. Mm-hmm. So I know there's barriers there. Mm-hmm. How do you deal with that rhetoric?
Yeah, I just, I hear everything. And so I got to stick to what God has called me to do. It was 7 years ago, he said, engage abortion. And what propelled me into that was a young African-American man who was putting his finger in my chest and challenging me on doing something with the Ferguson riots that were happening. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of racial tension in our country. He goes, you have to do something. And my response to him was, I'm going to share Jesus with everybody, because Jesus is the answer to racism. And he said, it's not enough. It's not enough. And it made me angry at him, made me angry at the situation. And so it led me to praying. And I said, Lord, take my anger, take my anger. I have at that young man. Mm-hmm. And the Lord said, engage abortion. And so I didn't know the connection to racism and abortion. Mm-hmm. And so God's sovereign hand moved through that young man. And so when it comes down to it, he's called me to do it. And it doesn't have anything to do with me. It's not my glory. It's his glory. And mm-hmm. until he calls me away, I'll continue to do it. I had a guy, we minister to everybody in the community. It's not just about abortion. So we're trying to show the world the love of Christ. And so half of what I spend has nothing to do with abortion. And so one day I was standing at the abortion mill, and a guy was walking behind me, and I just looked back at him and said, hey, can I pray with you? And he said, yeah. And so we began to pray. He's an African-American man. And we pray not. We opened our eyes. I looked at him. He was crying. I said, you okay? And he goes, I am now. I was like, okay. And he was picking up garbage on the hill that day. He had a temporary job. And I would come to know this this man as Quentin. His name was Q. We called him Q. He was homeless. He's in a shelter. Addicted to cocaine and alcohol. he would relapse, but the Lord called me to him. The Lord said, go the distance with this guy. And so when he would relapse and get arrested, I'd show up in court, and he would look back at me, and I'd look at him, and I'd bail him out. And after about the third time, he goes, hey, what are you doing? I said, the Lord has called me to you. And he goes, dude, I don't even like white people. I said, you don't? And he goes, no. I said, man, the Lord has called me to you. And he goes, okay. He goes, why did God send me a white dude? I said, I don't know. But, you know, it took about 6 years. But Quentin is free. And he drives a truck down in Birmingham. He's got a son. He's got a daughter. He's married. He called me last year. He said, Scott, you won't believe this. I said, well, he goes, dude, I live in the whitest neighborhood.
Oh, gosh.
And he goes, I love these people, and they love me. And so he's been freed from anger, too. And and Quentin is a part of our family. And so for me, it's been an answer to prayer. And not only are we dealing with abortion, but I'm now in the homes of African-Americans. African-Americans are in my homes. And Quentin, who's African-American, is part of my family. Each Sunday I go into Nashville, I fill up my truck with people that I met on the street. I bring them into community because they just want to be in community. And so we're dealing with not only abortion, we're dealing with racism, we're dealing with all kinds of stuff. And it's really just about God. So
AJ, as a man, do you feel like men have a right to speak up about abortion?
Yeah, I honestly think we should, because the fact is, I mean, who knows, you know what I'm saying, with the circumstance of the woman, because he might can take care of the child, and she might decide she want to get an abortion.
But I'm going to play devil's advocate. It's my body.
True. And have you seen deal with that situation before?
All the time. People tell me all the time I don't have a uterus.
Okay, how did you respond?
It's an injustice. And so men have a right to speak to injustice. And so it's kind of a silly argument. So it's like, so you're a woman, you can't speak to child trafficking then, because that's kind of a man issue there.
Yeah.
So you have no right to speak to that. So it doesn't make that doesn't make any sense. And so now we have a voice, and our voice is important because it's really the father's voice that's changing the minds of these young women that are going in. And when they hear the father's voice, it breathes hope into their life in a situation where they're going in to kill their child, but then they change their mind because they hear that voice and they have hope now, and they leave. And so the man's voice is crucial, crucial in this fight.
So as we are wrapping this up, if someone is listening and saying, okay, they're on the fence and they don't know where to turn, whether they're in the Nashville area, because we are in the Nashville area, but like I said before, Scott has helped around this world. So how can someone reach out to you or someone like you who does similar work and get help?
Yeah,
is there a number?
I give my phone number out to every person on the street. And so people are like, man, aren't you worried about that? I'm like, I don't know. Are people going to crank call me or something? So,
yeah.
I don't know. I haven't been crank called yet.
Okay.
So, <I have. laughs> but yeah, I mean, it's my number. It's my email. It's scott@scotthord.com. Scott, S-C-O-T-T. Last name's H-O-R-D. So scott@scotthord.com. Email is probably the safest and easiest way. But I love to talk. I talk to people all the time that are in tough situations, and I'm doing it right now. I do it every day.
Okay. All right. So, AJ, any last words before we wrap up?
I enjoyed this conversation.
Indeed. It is.
It opened my eyes. It really, and I get the Christianity component, and people are saying, once again, you and I, we grew up, you know, and that's just the fact of the matter. Yeah. But as I tell people, one thing our father did tell us as we were growing up in the home, although I am teaching you the word, you need to know the word for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
He said you have to be a disciple of the word. So he held us accountable for making our own decisions and saying, okay, you need to have a relationship with God. This is not about you professing to know God. You need to have a relationship with God, and that is going to lead you to your decision making each and every day. So I know people might say, well, I want to get on and I want to talk about, and we're open to it, guys. We're open to it. But as far as me, I'm for the children. I'm clear cut and dry. If it's between you and a child, I'm going to protect the child first. So that is my stance. I don't care how much you tweet me, write me on Instagram, write me on Facebook. I love you. I'm not here to judge you. If you decide what you decide, that's you. But my first question is going to be about the child. AJ, what about you? Last words?
I still agree. I'm for the child.
I'm for the chat. Scott, any last words?
Yep. Go read Psalm 139 and understand the standard in which we stand. And then also go watch a video called Maafa 21, M-A-A-F-A 21. It's a Swahili word that means to enslave. It's a 2-hour documentary on Planned Parenthood. It'll give you the whole history of Planned Parenthood and why they exist and what they do. Those two things right there will change your mind.
And give the website. Is it a video?
It's just a video. You Google it. It's a Maafa, M-A-A-F-A 21. And it'll give you the whole history of Planned Parenthood, the eugenics movement, Margaret Sanger, and how she wanted to exterminate, eliminate, crush black people.
Look at that myself. Well, thank you so much, guys, for joining us today. This is our first episode of season 2. Once again, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Jabbing with the Johnsons. Also, you can visit our website to get our cool merch. We're going to have some additional merchandise coming up at www.jabbingjohnsons.com. Also, would like to thank our sponsor, Delmonico Premium Cigars. Once again, they have a Labor Day special coming up this weekend. You can get online at www.delmonicocigars.com. That's DelmonicoCigars.com. By the way, guys, if you're looking for the best cigar, it's the Choke. And I'll tell you why later on. Right, bro? The other guys are going to get upset at me, but it's definitely the Choke, the best cigars. Guys, we will see you next time. AJ, our next topic, we're dealing with nepotism and double dipping. Interesting, right, Scott?
Oh,
you got listening on that one. Nepotism and double dipping.
I'll let you guys deal with that.
And the city of Chattanooga, we're going to start with you first. Nepotism and double dipping. Once again, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we out.
We out.
It's time.
You know that story goes, two kids brought up in the church. Now we start our own path and we making it work. Building community, spreading unity, that's just what we do. Chat Town representing with our own point of view. Long awaited, we know that it's long overdue. We just wanted to make sure that it was special just for you. It's AJ and Kelly, so you get the package deal. Can't speak for them, but over here we gotta keep it real. We drop the gems every time that you listening. So every episode we shining and glistening. Stick around long enough, you see what the vision is. The future that we building looking limitless. It's fair warning, proceed with caution. You are not listening to Jabbing with the Johnsons.